And welcome back. It's episode 12 of All Talk No Bock. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And we are happy to have regular friends of the pod here again. Tori and Andrew, the squad has returned all together. Welcome.
Thanks for having us back.
Oh, yes. So, World Series Dodgers. I feel like this is a jinx your t-shirt, but we'll just move right along. I feel like I always start the podcast on a sadder note, especially in the past couple weeks. And this week is no different because, again, we're recording on Saturday. So yesterday, right before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. And there's honestly, you know, I'm struggling to find the words that I can say to even honor her legacy in the way it should be. She's done everything. She's the reason I have the rights that I do today, in so many different ways. And she was so important in my life, in my mom's life, in my grandma's life. I mean, her policy, her strength, her will to fight through all of the crap that she had to endure, and it goes on and on. And I just admire her, and she was one of my heroes, and I've lost a lot of my heroes this year, and this blow is the hardest. So to take, and we love her so much here, and if the term rest in peace was ever appropriate, she deserves to rest in peace, because her whole life from beginning to end was a fight for justice, for women, for queer rights, you name it. And we love her so much, and we're going to continue to fight, to vote, to enact change in however we can. So we love her. And does anybody have anything they want to say about Ruth?
Yeah, I just want to add on to what you were saying, that she was a pioneer in everything she did. She left the country and those in it changed for the better through all her work. And I know, especially after yesterday, it being so fresh, everything feels kind of bleak right now, but what we have to do, we can't give up. We just got to keep moving and fight her fight now. She did her part. She put us in the position we're in, and now we got to keep it up for her.
Yes, yes. And to sort of put a kind of beautiful spin on it, in I'm Jewish, and so is she. And in Jewish culture, yesterday, as I said, was the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, last night, going into today. And I shouldn't be recording this podcast. I'm a bad Jew. So it's, there's a sort of principle in the Bible that if you die right before the new year, then God kept you, like, God kept you alive as long as he could, or extended your life as long as possible so that you could, because you're the most righteous. Forgive me, that's not exactly correct, but it's something like that. And anyway, I just think that's very beautiful and spiritually pleasing in this otherwise very dark moment. So I don't know if that gives anybody solace, but hopefully it does. So not to get too religious or sad. The postseason starts in a week. Back to baseball now, although it feels inappropriate, but we shall. Postseason starts in a week, the season's wrapping up, or about a week, and there's many rule changes going into this sort of bubble type of postseason. It's a little different than the NBA's bubble, but so there's many different rule changes, and we're going to talk about all of them. So, Tori, how about you give us a couple?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be looking a lot different this postseason, as we've seen in any of the past postseasons. For starters, 16 of the 30 teams are going to be competing, which is already more than half of the teams in the entire major league. So that'll definitely be interesting. But I honestly think it'll kind of make it more fun. I think it'll be kind of neat seeing that wild card series right off the bat. Mm-hmm. That will be played at the respected team stadium. So it will be kind of like the bubble sort of thing. But they started quarantining already the players as far as the end of the season. If they're still in the running to make the postseason, they're right in their hotel rooms when they're not on the field. And then after the wild card series, they're going to be going into the bubbles. And the bubbles are going to be different than we've seen in the NBA or the NHL, but I still think they'll be pretty effective. They're going to be in LA and San Diego, and then also the two stadiums in Houston and Arlington. So I think it'll be definitely different, but I don't know. I know that Rob Manfred was also saying that he thinks that having like the wild card series might be something that they might want to keep even past the 2020 season. I think that would be really hard for a lot of like baseball fans because they're so used to what it like has been. But I understand the side of it that once fans are allowed in the stadium, it'll be more money, more revenue, more podcasts. And for the 2020 season, it feels right in the sense that we've only had 60 games, like a shortened season. So we get more baseball, which is like a plus and positive for me. Uh-huh. But I don't know about for future years.
Mm-mm.
You guys think?
I'll let everybody else give their thoughts, but I've been very vocal about this whole wild card situation, the best of three. I don't hate it. I like seeing more teams from each league in the playoffs, but I do think that there needs to be some kind of stipulation for if you're the best, especially in a full length season. Again, the season's different, but you can't be the first and second seed and lose to the 500 Phillies. Because, like, no, or Giants that are rebuilding. No, you gotta have a bye, or you gotta have some type of like immunity situation, or you gotta, because you work so hard and they win all these series and games and tough games, and they have the best, blah, blah, blah. I'm not just talking about the Dodgers, I'm talking about other teams. And it's like, and then they just lose in a three game, and then they're gone. And then that's horrible also because the better teams tend to be the big market teams. And then what do you do if the biggest market teams, and I'm talking Dodgers, Yankees, and others too, Cubs, what if they're all out of the playoffs? And then you're seeing the Brewers and the Padres and the, sorry, Reese, and the I don't even know what, in the second, third round. That's boring. Tampa. So that's how I feel. But anyway, Andrew, what do you got for us?
I mean, obviously with this like convoluted season, everything's kind of getting thrown out the window as far as like tradition and all that, and not to say that tradition isn't always necessary, but I had heard like conversations saying that they may implicate like the bye next year when it's a full, if it's a full season, when we get there. But as far as like the bubbles go and all that, I think it's very interesting. The AL is going to be on the West Coast, and the NL is going to be playing in Texas, and then the World Series is going to be playing in Texas. So that's going to be interesting, kind of having the World Series at a neutral site at Globe Life Park, Stadium Field, whatever it's called. But it'll be interesting. They're implementing more celebration rules. They're not going to be able to like celebrate like we're normally used to seeing. There's no champagne baths or anything like that, so that'll be interesting.
So,
I know it's gonna be bad.
I think on that one, I don't think that matters as much. I mean, if your team wins, yeah, they're not getting a champagne shower, but is that really what you're focused on right now?
Yes. Like,
you just won the World Series or won the I'm sorry. Hot take. Who cares? I don't really.
I think for teams like the Dodgers, who have been there in past, like who have done it before, but maybe it's not such a big deal. But for teams like the Padres, for teams like the Marlins who haven't been there in a long time, for younger players who haven't got to experience it, it's going to be interesting that like their experience is so different from anybody else's. So maybe it's not the most necessary, but it's just something that people are missing out on.
They could probably do that on their own time too, though. You know, it doesn't need to be in front of media and the press. I'm sure they have their own champagne showers afterwards and celebrate. So they'll get theirs, trust me, even for these new squads.
I think it'll happen behind camera.
Out and, like, you know, a couple amazing pictures that you've seen, especially from the Dodgers in recent years, but I don't think it matters to them as much as actually winning and getting there.
Yeah. How about the fact that I still want to see the Dodgers, assuming they do advance throughout the postseason, which, if you ask me, I think they're losing in the first round. That's not a jinx. That's just reality of the situation, because I know how the Dodgers choke. I've been there. I've seen a lot of it. 5, 6, 7, 8 years. How many years? 8. I've seen it. So it'll probably happen again. But if they do make it through the postseason, at least a couple of rounds, and they get the champagne shower and stuff, I want to see it. There are rookies on that team that haven't had it before that are going to be impactful on that roster, and I like it. And also, it's fun, and I want them to be happy and to be able to celebrate. I want every team to be able to celebrate.
It's not necessary, though. Like, they're going to be happy without the champagne. And I also think, back to the World Series comment, Andrew, to switch it up, I think that, you know, having fans at Globe Life is going to be really impactful if they can do it. It's going to bring back revenue into the MLB that we've seen from fans before. And, you know, I also think that in this format, if they can't do it, they should definitely have fans on the Jumbotron like the NBA is doing. Get them on there for the entire game, not just for like a seventh inning or a commercial break. Mm. They should be involved. And where have the player decals been for the MLB? I've seen it in the NFL. I've seen it in the NBA. But, you know, I haven't seen it as much on like the back of players' helmets and stuff like that. So I think that it'd be cool to incorporate some of that and have some justice messages on the back of players' helmets as well.
Oh, I'd love that. For the postseason. That'd be awesome. Where did they land on the families? Like, in the bubble?
Their families, I think, can come in. They just have to quarantine with them. And then I believe that they're able to be with them, like, throughout the playoff.
I thought that families weren't going to be allowed. And I was...
I think they can now. I think that was like a new announcement. Like, the families can, as long as they're quarantining, like, I want to say like a week or two beforehand with the players, I think that they are able to stay with them in the bubble throughout the playoffs.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's important, because that's a long time. That's a month.
Yeah.
Usually of not seeing your family. And that's a lot. Any last thoughts about postseason?
Yes, I liked that they put it in Texas too. I thought that, you know, it kind of worked out. I don't know if they had already said that before, but I think that, you know, having it be there is a great middle ground for the whole country to really have a chance at going to see this game if they want to come see the series, because it's right there in the middle of the country and everyone can come from, you know, Tampa if they make it, or LA if they make it. Yeah, it's going to be a long drive or a packed flight, but I think to get a chance to see any kind of baseball live this season will be well worth it, especially if it's a good series between.
What do you mean? Like, fans being allowed at the World Series? Is that what you're assuming?
Yes. Okay. They're allowed to go to the World Series. I think it was a great location and middle ground for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't like that it's not being played at Minute Maid, but I'm sad that even Minute Maid's involved in, like, that just feels like Houston. I don't know how yet, but it somehow feels like Houston benefits, maybe financially. I don't really know. But why? I don't want to see anything involving Houston's stadium in the postseason play. That's just me. I'm still salty. So, but I think the World Series is being played at the Rangers stadium. So that's fine. And it's new, and I hear it's beautiful and huge. Hard to get a home run in there. So let's. That's something to take note of, probably less offense, potentially.
Should make it interesting, though, so that'll be fun.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be interesting no matter what. And also, they're not implementing any days off during these series.
Oh, yeah.
Not until the World Series, I believe. And that's going to be interesting because there's so much different strategy to implement for teams, like bullpen-wise and roster-wise. They're going to get the extended rosters, but it's a little weird to me, just because you would think that puts a little, like, some players more in, like, at risk for injury and all that. Yeah. So I don't see how the Players Association kind of, like, agree to that, but it'll be interesting.
Certainly starting pitching depth will be tested, which is actually good for certain teams. bad for other teams. But if you do have a strong bullpen, that'll also be tested with the no days off. And yeah, that's, I'm less angry about that one. It's sort of more akin to a regular season in terms of they play, sometimes they play what, 17, 18, 20 games in a row. Yeah. So they're used to that. And it's at one place.
Yeah, there's anyway. No travel.
Yeah.
I think the one last thing I had to add on, as far as like the World Series being in Texas, TV-wise, that's going to be beneficial because it's one time zone.
Yeah.
It's the central time zone. So it's going to be, I guess, available to the most amount of people they can reach. So I think that definitely went into their decision.
Right. I think most of it is probably the weather. That's why it's like SoCal and Texas, because those are the hottest at that time of year. And it, other than like, I guess, potential hurricanes over there, the weather is sort of the most mild as compared with other, like the East Coast. Obviously you can't do the Midwest, NorCal and the Pacific Northwest, too rainy. So yeah, that's probably part of it. Any last thoughts, Tori?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it'll kind of feel more like it'll be more fast paced, definitely more pressure on the players, kind of without breaks in between, like you guys were saying. But in a way, like it'll feel more like a tournament in a sense. I know it always is like championship play and everything, but it'll feel more like kind of, we see other sports that kind of do that, like Madison and stuff. I don't know. It feels like different in that sense, but I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of crazy thinking in 10 days from right now, it'll already be going into that wild card series.
So
that's coming up really quick. And those three games are going to fly by. And hopefully there won't be too many upsets, or maybe there will be upsets. We'll see.
You want there to be an upset. You're a Giants fan. You want there to be an upset. Don't even play like that.
And a Yankees fan. You want the Dodgers to lose. You want them both. It's going to be – it's been a unique regular season, and it's going to be a unique postseason. So I'm very excited And I think everyone has said their piece. So with that, let's wrap it up, take a short break, and we'll get into your take, our take. Welcome back to All Talk No Bock. It's time for your favorite segment and ours. It's your take, our take. We have a first caller on the pod. He was interested in the bullpen and saw our podcast. Welcome, Michael Wallett. He's excited to talk about his favorite baseball Mount Rushmore today. So we're all talking baseball Mount Rushmore. It's a very popular topic out there. A lot of baseball camps do it, a lot of sports camps. So we're going to dip our toes into that. So we'll start off with Heather, our host. What do you got for us?
Oh, thank you. I like that's very official. Basically, I'll tell everybody the rules of this thing are, if, you know, by this point, everybody knows what teams we support. We can choose a maximum of two players from our favorite teams. One has to be retired and one could be current. Two players maximum, and then the other two have to be from different teams. So each of us are going to name four players total. So I am going to get started now. So I will start with a Dodger legend, and his name is Sandy Koufax. And why is Sandy Koufax on my Mount Rushmore? For many reasons. Four-time World Series champion, three-time Triple Crown. Guys, did we forget about that? He pitched four no-hitters, sorry for the noise, four no-hitters in one perfect game. I mean, the stats are unbelievable. One of the most legendary left-handers to ever pick up a baseball, and he is the youngest player to be elected into the Hall of Fame. Do people know that? And he would have played for much longer had he not had injuries that nowadays would have been handled via surgery or something else. So it's unfortunate, but he's a legend in Brooklyn and LA, so we love Sandy. And he's still alive and looks really good. And hopefully we can win another World Series so that he can witness it. him and Vin need to witness another World Series championship. My next guy, I'm going to go over to the Red Sox for this one. His name is Ted Williams. We all know him. What can you say? He never won a World Series because he played in the midst of the huge Red Sox drought, World Series drought. But wow, he was an All-Star 19 times. 19. I mean, I can't do anything for 19 years. I mean, except living. I guess I've lived for 19 years, but that's like really all I can do for 19 years. He's great. The best Red Sox to ever live. 344 batting average, I'm sorry, that he ended his career on. That's amazing. He set record after record, and not much more needs to be said about Ted Williams. My next guy, a little bit closer to home for me, is actually Lou Gehrig. Obviously, there's a huge pool of Yankees to choose from, but I choose Lou Gehrig because not only did he win 6 World Series, he also won the Triple Crown for hitting, obviously. One of the best first basemen to ever live, and one of the most prolific in terms of games played, which is especially tragic, the way he passed at age 37, from what we call Lou Gehrig's disease, also ALS. I've said for many years that if I were ever rich, I would give a lot of my money to ALS, because I just think want to rank illnesses, obviously, and I would try to donate to a lot of things, but ALS just hits me really hard because I've seen documentaries on it. There's a great one called Gleason I recommend for all the fans. And wow, I mean, just to lose your motor abilities and eventually your ability to talk, breathe, eat, and but your brain stays the same, so you recognize that you're deteriorating in this way. Anyway, it's just tragic to me, but Lou Gehrig is a legend as a Yankee, and obviously he has the great retirement speech, so that we all remember. And then my last guy, I'll end with the current Dodger. His name is Mookie Betts, everyone. And why Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts is already a World Series champion with, obviously, the Red Sox. And soon to be with the Dodgers, assuming that Andrew is right and I'm wrong. He's already an MVP. He's only 28 in October. 4-time All-Star, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove. I mean, he does it all. Batting champion. He hit for the cycle. We love Mookie Betts in LA. He makes us better. He's the reason we've won a couple of games even in this short season. And he could do it all. Speed, power, hit for average. And I think he will be an eventual Hall of Famer, but an eventual all-time great. And his social justice platform is admirable as well, and what he's doing for the city already, and he just moved here. So that is my Mount Rushmore. And now we will, sorry if that was too long, and now we will move it to, let's go to Reese.
Okay, so for my first one, I'll make this short and sweet, but my first one, I'm throwing it like way, way back. So we're going St. Louis Cardinals, Stan Musial. This dude's amazing. He's 24-time All-Star. He has 3 MVP awards, Hall of Famer, and something super cool, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but he had 3,630 career hits, and it was evenly split between games on the road and at home, so he had 1,800 hits in both places, so that was really cool. I thought that was awesome. Also, he's just a really stand-up dude, so he is on my Mount Rushmore. And then, to absolutely nobody's surprise, going with Mr. Padre himself, Tony Gwynn. I mean, that one goes without saying. He's Mr. Padre. You know, what else can I say? He hit 394. He's got a beer named after him. 5 Golden Gloves, 15-time All-Star, 7 Silver Sluggers. He's amazing. Going on with my Padres train, I've got Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman, also a Hall of Famer. 1,133 career strikeouts. That's pretty amazing. Finished 856 games. I actually met him a couple years ago at Celebration of Champions and got to walk alongside him, and he just is an amazing person on the field and off the field, and so it speaks a lot to his character, and so he's definitely on my Mount Rushmore. And then finishing up with Albert Pujols, 661 home runs. Crazy, just broke that record. And so, yeah, you know, he broke Willie Mays' record yesterday, I believe it was. And then also his 600th career home run was a grand slam, which is amazing in itself. So that's an absolute accomplishment. He's got 6 silver sluggers, 3-time MVP, 2 Hank Aaron awards, 2 Golden Gloves. His rookie season, he was hitting .328. And so, yeah, he's secured a spot on my Mount Rushmore.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, so I had the decision to make between myself as far as like going overall players or just kind of like going for a subcategory of players. So I'm going to go with the subcategory of players just to mix things up a bit. So my Mount Rushmore for this is going to be the best nicknames in baseball. I'll start with probably the most recent one that I had on my list, and that is Yasiel Puig, just because he's closer to my heart. Dubbed by Vince Scully, the Wild Horse. And if you saw like Yasiel Puig's first half season and all that, it's the most appropriate name for him. He went crazy on the field, both defensively and offensively. So it just fits him, and it's carried on to the Reds and to the Indians wherever he went. The next one would be for the Red Sox, Big Papi. You don't even need to say his actual name, David Ortiz, but he's known as Big Papi, and it's synonymous with him. He's synonymous with the Red Sox. There's not much to say. He's brought multiple championships and ended the drought there. So he's definitely one of the best Red Sox. Obviously, you mentioned Ted Williams, and there's a handful of others. But he's definitely there, up there with it. Going with a rivalry, the next one is the captain, Derek Jeter. Also just a great nickname. It's like just to be known as the captain of the Yankees. Like that's a solid nickname. He's got Mr. November too, but he's more synonymous with the captain. So there's not a lot more to say to that. Derek has his accolades and all of that. His storybook walk-off hit in his last at bat at Yankee Stadium. Solid. It's great. Yes. And the last one, the king of all nicknames, Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth got all of them. Babe itself is the nickname, Salt and Swat, Colossus of Clout, as we know from the Sandlot, the Great Bambino. He's got them all. He's earned them all. And that's why he's definitely earned a spot on the Mount Rushmore of nicknames.
But no Dick Mountain? Wow. That's like, wow.
Dick Mountain and Chicken Strip definitely belong up there too.
Yeah, there was a robbery there on your Mount Rushmore. We need to carve another piece in the mountain. And
just more faces.
How about you, Tori?
Yeah, so some of the names have already been brought up, so I'll keep it short and sweet and touch on them too. Andrew just said Derek Jeter for his Mount Rushmore for nicknames, the captain. I have him on my Mount Rushmore for greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people would try to argue against this, saying that he's not the best shortstop, yada, yada, yada. But just in itself, that he literally holds the all-time hit record for the Yankees, I think says a lot. And just how he is on and off the field. He's always, always been a player I look up to, playing with my background in softball, always repping number 2. Definitely, Peter just for sure makes down my Mount Rushmore. The second player I have on my Mount Rushmore is Sandy Koufax, which Heather was players. And just by far, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, for sure the greatest lefty pitcher in my book of all time. And Heather already went through some of his accolades, but also just the fact that the end of his career, the last 4 seasons, he was literally just untouchable, winning 27 games in his very last season. And super sad that it had to be cut short because of his arthritis and everything like that. But definitely goes down in history as a legend. And then the third player on my Mount Rushmore is Hank Aaron. And this is because he holds the RBI record at 2,297 RBIs. And he had 15 seasons where he hit more than 100 RBIs in a season, which is just a lot in and of itself. And also kind of like a fun fact about him is how he had the crosshand grip when he was hitting at first. Yeah. So instead of hitting, he's righty, so he was supposed to hit right on top of left, he had left on top of right. And the amount of power and control he still had. Like, if you told a kid, try to teach somebody how to hit, that would not be the advice they'd be giving as a hitting coach. but it worked for him, clearly. And then my last player on the Mount Rushmore is Mike Trout. And although Mike Trout may be in the Angels, and the Angels definitely, sorry, Charles, by no means are like a powerhouse franchise or anything like that. I still believe that Mike Trout, as a current player, is probably the best player by far on the field right now and will go down as one of the greatest in history. He already has 7-time Silver Slugger Awards, 8-time All-Star, 3-time MVP, as well as other accolades. And just him on the field as far as playing in the outfield, the speed, the range he has, and then he does it with the bat too. So that is my Mount Rushmore.
Good one. Lots of legends in there. Let's go to our special guest, Micah. What do you got for us, Micah?
Yeah, so just to start off, my number one is Randy Johnson.
Good one.
Kind of bring a different lefty into the picture. You know, obviously Koufax is for sure a legend, but the stuff that Randy Johnson had, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastball, slider that nobody could touch, being what, 6'10", 6'11", just scaring hitters. He definitely has to be up there for me. And then my number two would have to be Mickey Mantle. You know, just one of the first to ever switch hit. You know, he was probably one of the first players I saw with a baseball body, and the speed he had, obviously without injuries, he could have been someone way better. Rest in peace to him. He's for sure up there for me. And then I'm going to have to go with Barry Bonds. Home run legend. Obviously, it's controversial with the steroids, and I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
yeah.
Just to see him hit all those home runs, bring the excitement back to baseball, I don't think anyone can argue that. So
right there.
He's up there for me. And then my last one is going to have to be Pedro Martinez. Just to stick with pitching, I'm a pitcher myself, so I really have to, you know, just admire his game. You know, he has one of the nastiest changeups I've ever seen. His, what was it, 1999 All-Star appearance was just ridiculous. That's my four right there.
Those are good four. Everybody's choosing good ones. Yeah. And let's wrap it up with Charles. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Pedro Martinez, man, that's someone that Clayton Kershaw gets compared to a lot, and he was an amazing player, and I love that pick, man. I'm going to go with someone that Reese said he has an award named after him, and Torrey also mentioned his name and all of his accolades. Hank Aaron, amazing player. That's one of mine as well. 3-time Golden Glove. He won an MVP for the NL in 1957. Best home run hitter in my book. He kept it natural. Get out of here, Barry Bonds. Sorry, Micah. I'm not a fan. Steroids did it for me. Have to keep Hank Aaron up top for me. And moving on, someone else has already mentioned, the Babe, Babe Ruth, has to be in there for the greatest of all time. I mean, first all-time in OPS. I think he's second in RBIs to Aaron. And he's just an amazing player. And he did it with less games. I mean, there were some seasons back in the day where they were only playing 90 games in a season because they were shortening it, or because of war, whatever it was. And he didn't get the kind of bats and games that these other guys that we're talking about got. So I think that he's just a different breed. He also pitched with like a 2.23 ERA. He went 94-46 as a pitcher. Just unbelievable. He could do it all. I mean, some of the games – it was rumored that he was even drinking and was playing baseball out there. So I don't know any other player today who could, you know, chug a brew or slam a six pack and go out there and play baseball right now. So very impressive from him. So many more, you know, things to talk about. He had so many accomplishments, but I'm going to move on. Everyone knows how great Babe Ruth is. Someone that I'm surprised that hasn't been mentioned yet for my third player is Jackie Robinson. He changed the game. He broke the color barrier. He led the Dodgers to, what was it, like through 10 seasons and captured a World Series with them in 55. So many different things that he brought to that squad. Finished with an above 300 average, over like, you know, 1,500 hits. He was amazing for the squad, and what he did for the game and everything outside of the game just makes him one of the greatest in my eyes. and maybe unpopular, kind of coming out of left field with this one, giving love to the pitchers as well, Micah. Mariano Rivera, unanimously named into the Hall of Fame. How is he not on the baseball Mount Rushmore? He's the only player. Best all-time in saves. He's the save leader, the closer god. The man only had, like, one pitch, and it was his fastball. Other than that, you know, he was going out. He got it done. You know, he didn't need much, but he could do it to you. And that's why I think he deserves to be on there. He kept it small. Less is more for him, and he was really the idealization of that, and he was the man. So those are my top four guys. And honorable mention to Trout, of course. I don't think he's there with those four guys yet, but if I had to name a current player right now, it'd definitely be him.
Yeah. He pitched one inning every game, Mariano.
Okay. What if the game is tied or 3-2? Are you serious? Tell that to the Angels right now. I don't think there's anyone who can come on their relief to pitch one inning. So, yeah, that one inning matters.
Yeah, you're telling me you wouldn't rather have Mo than Kenley right now? Come on.
Don't talk about Kenley with that. We're trying to get him on this podcast. Stop it.
I'm just trying to like slander.
Like, well, maybe Mariano's come defend himself. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, gotta voice up right now.
Yeah, Kenley, like, Mariano's politics aside, you can't deny what he's doing on the mound. Also, to add on, Micah, I'm ashamed that you didn't mention the bird incident for Randy Johnson's accolades. He blew up a bird.
Yeah, that.
That bird.
Wait, that bird exploded.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Was that in spring training?
Was it in spring training? Have you not heard about the bird incident?
I am unaware of the bird.
I'm unaware of this.
There, if you look it up on YouTube, there's this. There, I don't know the year. I don't know when or where. It could be spring training. But Randy Johnson, in the middle of a pitch, like he let it go, and a bird flew in the path, and it just exploded into feathers. It
exploded.
And it's like one of his most famous things he's ever done.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't bring it up. But
it's like, that's how fast he throws. That's how hard he throws. Also,
yeah, how could you, wow. Speaking of Randy Johnson, how could you not mention that he, like, ended the Yankees, like, role of World Series, the streak,
yeah,
with Diamondbacks,
yeah,
in after 9/11, when everybody wanted the Yankees to win? Mm-hmm. Pretty funny stuff.
Also, a solid nickname in the big unit.
Big unit.
Yeah.
And for my closing arguments, three of my four overall players were mentioned in Pedro, Sandy, and Trout. Nobody else mentioned him, and he also has a solid nickname, the Kid, in Ken Griffey Jr. So I just gotta throw him out there, so, because it'd be remiss if we didn't mention him.
Kid,
yeah,
love that nickname. Love Ken Griffey Jr. Great player, great best father-son combo that's ever played in the MLB by far.
Yes, I gotta say, I get it, Kershaw's never won a ring, but wow, Kershaw's like the best lefty, truly, statistically wise, that's lived.
My list was between Pedro and Kershaw, so.
It's tough. He was the best in his first 10 seasons, I'll give you that, but since then, his numbers haven't been as great as these other guys in their last season, so.
Kershaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kershaw's
compared to some of these other guys, like Pedro Martinez,
right now.
He was like 2.93 even, like, into his later years, and Kershaw's up in the threes. So
Kershaw's not in the threes this year.
Not this year.
Are you talking about right now?
No, not right now. No,
he's saying he's been in the threes once.
Yeah, so he had a
one time.
Yeah, that's more than some of these other guys.
Well, his average is actually lower cumulatively than any lefty. And he's also won more games percentage-wise than any pitcher.
Yeah, sure. Kershaw, that. Okay. Let's go with Sandy Koufax.
I don't think Charles is saying Kershaw is a bad pitcher. I think we can all agree Kershaw is a great pitcher, one of the greatest. But
you need one of these right here.
Yeah.
Well, he'll get a ring. He'll get a ring from, you know, he'll go to Zales and he'll get himself a nice pretty ring. Anyway.
I'd also like to point out that Mookie Betts was on Heather's Mount Rushmore, and she wrote an article saying that he was a waste of money in the beginning of the season.
What?
So,
what?
I don't know. These opinions turn around real quick.
I
thought
about that.
It's literally in writing. Heather, you can't even deny that.
Yeah, it's in writing. I have the text message receipts.
Slander.
Oh.
No.
Andrew's on it.
Yeah.
No, that is not
for the fans out there.
Did you just say that's slander? That is not slander. It's literally founded.
A couple things clear right now. Stop talking, everyone. I need to make a couple things clear. I panicked in the first month of the season because he wasn't performing up to par. He was not hitting very well. He was not hitting power, and he was striking out a lot. A bit too much for me. And they started out slow offensively. Yesterday, they won 15-6. Okay. So they're waking up finally. A couple of their other players too. But I'm saying that Mookie Betts is a great player. I'm saying that he will be great. I panicked in the first month of the season. I did not say it was a waste of money. I said, I hope it does not become an Albert Pujols to the Angels type of situation, because that is the fear with anybody signing a big contract that's like 13 years. We see Bryce Harper, they panicked. Manny Machado, they panicked. Don't tell me you didn't panic, Reese. Last year when he was just okay, Bryce Harper is still kind of, is he worth the contract? I don't know. But you can't say that a 13-year contract isn't a risk. They're putting a lot of money into him. And for the first month of the season, he was not as good as he should have been. He is good now. He will be good for the rest of his time with the Dodgers, I am sure, or at least most of it. And he will probably win a ring, if not maybe two. That would be my guess. Okay?
That is the most faith I have ever seen you put into the Dodgers organization.
Do you love him or do you hate him? I mean,
I know it's mostly all cynicism.
He loves him on a good day.
I don't think she actually likes the Dodgers. One day it's like Mookie Betts is the worst, and now you have him on your Mount Rushmore. I'm with Andrew here.
Yeah, but for our fans, go look at her article and read just to see what it says.
I don't know.
Follthebullpen.com.
Can I just explain my cynicism for the world? I am 22 years old. I have seen them in the postseason in my lifetime 14 times. I'm 23. Did I say I'm 22? I'm actually 23. I love them so much, and they've let me down so many years. I have been in the corner of my bedroom crying so many years in a row. I am a withered little bean of a human being. My soul is but a shriveled little lima bean of a thing because of them. And I've had so much faith. 2017, I'm like, oh, easy, they're going to win that thing. 7 games to beat the Houston Astros. No big whoop. Yeah? We didn't know about the cheating back then. So anyway, and there have been a couple of years like that.
The Dodgers for that, because there were outside circumstances.
Sure. But I'm saying I want them. I so badly want to go to a parade with my mom. I want to be out there. My grandma's 97. How many years does she have left to see them win a ring? Not very many, probably. So I so badly want them to win that I can't help but being pessimistic, because I don't know when they will win. I want to see them win in my lifetime. I could die at any moment like any of us. And I want to see them win because it's my number one goal in life. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't want to do anything. I have career goals. But I want to see the Dodgers win a World Series.
Heather, have you ever heard of Manifest Destiny? Okay, listen. You are continuously putting the Dodgers down. No wonder they're not winning the World Series. You're putting all that negative energy on the team.
I think we got to say any final thoughts on the baseball Mount Rushmores, guys?
I mean, I just have to say that I understand. Mount
Rushmore.
Okay, let me just say one more thing, because you say Manifest Destiny. For all the times that I'm negative, there's like 85,000 people in the world, or at least just in LA, that are being positive. So aren't they manifesting like a positive destiny? Am I outweighing all the positive destinies? Is my negative outweighing all the positive?
Yes.
It can't be. I don't have any influence. The Dodgers don't know me. So how can I even possibly? Anyway. I don't have any final thoughts on Mount Rushmore. Everybody chose great players. I'm glad that we all are on the same track. I'm surprised nobody chose the juicers besides Barry Bonds. Anyway, like Mark McGuire and stuff.
Still, Pirates Barry Bonds, like three, all that, is still a solid player. Like,
oh my
great
God.
Player.
Was he an MVP like 8 times? I mean, that's wild.
That may be.
That's a lot. He didn't win a World Series. Okay, speaking of good players that didn't win World Series. Okay, so we'll wrap it up. We'll take a quick break. I need to, like, take a, like, downer. I need to put a cool rag on my forehead.
You need to go drink some water.
Yeah, well, I have my water, so I'll... Okay, we're going to take a break and be right back. That's all for this episode of All Talk No Balk. It got
it got passionate there at the end of the year take our take, but we love it as always. For the record, I just want to amend myself. The Padres are not boring. Their fan base is not boring. I did not mean that. They are a smaller market team. That is what I meant to say. But they are not boring. They are passionate. And one day, they'll celebrate the mighty but small but strong. And they will celebrate a World Series, and they'll be happy, and we'll be happy for Reese as well. So next, thank you. Follow us on social media. As always, go to our website for great articles. Mine is coming out on Monday, so when you're hearing this tomorrow, it might be angsty, because that's sort of my thing, as we've seen. And it was a good episode. Next week, our take topic is, we're getting into the postseason now, or close to the postseason, so it's favorite postseason memories in baseball. What has stood out over the years, could be any year, even if they didn't win, obviously. So that's the topic. We're excited. We want to thank Micah for being the very first fan interested in being on the podcast. Yay! And we hope to hear more of your lovely voices on voicemail if you go to Anchor. And we hope to see everybody next week. Tune in, Spotify Sunday, YouTube Tuesday. Follow us on everything. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone. Bye. 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 Bye.